Good evening. We're glad to have everyone back with us tonight. Hope you had a good afternoon. Ready once again to study from the Word of God together. I would remind you of something that we mentioned a few weeks ago. The lectures at Memphis are actually started today, and know that no one would be able to necessarily make it down there. But I mentioned a few weeks ago that the lectures, each sermon is always live streamed and archived on oabs.org. And I would encourage you highly to, if you're capable, get on the internet and to watch and listen to some of those good sermons. You will not be disappointed. Now, I would especially commend to you a sermon that I know is going to be good Monday night. The last 2 years, Brother Dan Winkler has preached on Monday night, and he is preaching again this year on Monday night. I always anticipate hearing Brother Winkler. And if you have never heard Brother Winkler, then I would encourage you to get on and listen both to this year's, but especially the last 2 years. last year, there were probably about 1,000 people in the auditorium, and he preached a little over an hour, but you didn't see anybody complaining about him preaching a little over an hour. It was a tremendous sermon, and I know he's going to do an equally good job tomorrow night, but all the sermons are always good, and I would encourage you to get on and listen to them if possible. Christian and I are going to be heading up or down, I guess it would be, tomorrow morning, and we're going to be there Monday and Tuesday to enjoy that. So we'll be back Wednesday for services, but nonetheless, I did want to mention that and encourage you to do that if you would be interested in doing so. Every 10 years, the laws of our land have dictated that we are to complete a census. And it's likely that you have already received your form in the mail and have probably, possibly filled it out already and sent it back. If not, I won't turn you in. But I would encourage you to do that. And that census is supposed to serve as an evaluation form, so to speak. And what it is evaluating is the growth and the expansion of local communities, of counties, of states, and ultimately of the nation as a whole over the last 10 years, over the last decade. And if you were to read through the census form and notice some of the questions that are asked, that they're not difficult. It doesn't take a college education to fill it out. It's very simple. But even though the questions may be simple, the information that's gathered allows a great deal of good, potentially, to be done. And for some reason, I guess it's just the way my mind works sometimes, I got to thinking about the intention, anyways, behind such an evaluation, the questions being so simplistic and yet providing such a solid foundation upon which we can launch forth into the future. And I immediately saw a sermon. And my mind went to 2 Corinthians 13 and verse 5, which you are likely familiar with, as Paul encouraged the Christians at Corinth to evaluate themselves. And what he's talking about is basically to inquire information about the growth and the expansion of the inner man, of their spirit, of their souls, of their lives as Christians, so as to determine the point at which they currently were, so then they would be better prepared and able to launch forth into the future as Christians. Notice in verse 5, he said, "Examine yourselves, whether ye be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves, how that Jesus Christ is in you, except ye be reprobates." Now, who is he encouraging to examine them? Is he writing to the church of Galatians saying, "Christians in Galatia, I want you to examine the brethren in Corinth and come to your own personal conclusion about their lives and their manners and the means by which they are seeking to serve God. No, he's saying examine self. Why? Because you know yourself. Nobody knows us better than ourselves other than God. And so who then is in a better position to sit down and examine my life and to examine it from the standpoint and context of God's standard of truth and to come to an honest conclusion as to my stance and faithfulness to His charge? No one can serve in a better capacity to examine me than me. And nobody can serve in a better capacity to examine you than can you. And it's always good for us to sit down at times and to think, to evaluate ourselves, to gather information about where have I been, where am I now, and if I stay on this track, where am I going? And it doesn't take a great deal of difficulty, but rather, just like these census forms, we can ask very simplistic questions and yet gather a great deal of information to prepare us for the future. Now, let's notice just three questions very quickly tonight that I think are good for us to periodically question ourselves, to examine ourselves by, and to determine if we truly are on the proper track as Christians. Number one, by what name are you called? Well, you might find that to be an odd question. It's a question that likely you had to fill out on your census form. But why in this setting would we ask that question? By what name are you called? Well, in Acts chapter 4 and verses 11 and 12, Luke records that this is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which is become the head of the corner, and neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Now, let's break that down and realize Luke is recording there is one name by which we can be saved, and that is one name to the exclusion of all others. And yet, just for the sake of curiosity, the other day I opened up my Cheatham County Yellow Pages and I turned to the section labeled churches. And I went through and I wrote down every single different religious body that was listed in the Yellow Pages. There's the African Methodist Episcopal Church. There's the Apostolic Church, the Assemblies of God, the Free Will Baptist, the Independent Baptist, the Missionary Baptist, the Southern Baptist, Catholic, Church of God of Prophecy, Seventh-day Adventist, Family Church, Nazarene Church, and Methodist Church. Does that sound as though there is one name by which these various religious groups are seeking to be called? But rather, we find that not a single one is mentioned in my Bible. I read nowhere of any of them. But what I do read is that in Acts 11 and verse 26, the disciples were first called Christians at Antioch. Now what does that tell me? That tells me that's the name that I need to be seeking by which my life is called. And so by what name am I called? Now, I need to be called a Christian. In Romans 16 and verse 16, Paul conglomerates all the Christians together and says that the compilation of these Christians were called the churches of Christ. And so by what name am I called? Well, there's only one name by which I can be saved. I better be seeking to call myself after that name and none other. And number two, not only can we ask the question, by what name are you called? But let's ask the question, where do you reside? And again, the question may sound very odd in this setting, but I assure you it's not. Because 80 times in the New Testament do we find the phrase in Christ with reference to various blessings or facts about Christianity. For instance, in Acts 24 and verse 24, Luke again recorded that the faith, or in other words, the gospel system, is in Christ. Romans 3:24, Paul would write that redemption is in Christ. Romans 8 and verse 1, Paul would say that there is no condemnation in Christ. The very next verse, Romans 8, 2, the law of the Spirit of life is in Christ. Romans 8, 39, the love of God is in Christ. Romans 12, 5, there is oneness in Christ. 1 Corinthians 1, 2, there is sanctification in Christ. 1 Corinthians 4, 10, wisdom, true wisdom, that is in Christ. 1 Corinthians 4, 15, being born again is done in Christ. 1 Corinthians 15, 19, hope is in Christ. 15, 22, life is in Christ. 15, 31, joy is in Christ. And as I said, there are 80 of those references in the New Testament, all signifying blessings or facts that reside about Christianity being in Christ. That is the location. And when the Bible states that something is in Christ, I assure you, and the Bible assures you, that it is in Christ to the exclusion of all other places. And so we again ask the question, where do I reside? Am I residing, spiritually speaking, in some other location than in Christ? If I am, I need to be seeking to change residence. And so we ask the question, how do I know if I'm in Christ or not? Well, Paul told us the means by which we enter into Christ, Galatians 3:27, for as many as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ, meaning that we are then in Christ and capable of receiving all of the many blessings that are contained therein. And so by what name are you called? Are you called a Christian and Christian alone? Where do you reside? Are you residing in Christ or in the world or in some other religious body which amounts to residing in the world? Number three, what is your occupation? Again, odd question. But Paul's encouragement to the Ephesians in Ephesians 4 and verse 1 was that they walk worthy of their vocation. In other words, that in which they toiled, that for which they labored. Now, what exactly was that vocation? The work of the Christian. He's writing to Christians. And he's writing about Christian service. So what might that vocation be then, Christian service? Our means of reaching out into the community and into the world to evangelize, to edify, to help those who are in need in hopes, ultimately, of converting their souls. And by entering into Christ and His body, the Ephesians accepted the duties that came with the blessings. And so Paul is encouraging them to, as they accepted their duties and their responsibilities, to work in the capacity of upholding those duties and responsibilities. And friends, we have accepted the same duties if we are Christians. We have accepted the task to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. That's part of it. We have accepted the opportunity to assemble on a regular basis and worship our God. We have accepted the responsibility or the duty of many other things that are required of us as Christians, to live morally, to do good unto those that are around us. Are we walking worthy of the vocation by which we have been called? Because all around us, we see people whose fundamental purpose in life is anything but the true work of a Christian. Now, is it wrong to have other interests? Of course not. And we certainly do not want to even appear as though we're saying that. We have families. We have friends. We have work other than Christian work. We have hobbies and recreation and all of these other things. And there's nothing wrong with them. But when my fundamental purpose, my priority, becomes something outside of practicing pure and unadulterated Christianity, then I have a very serious problem. And I need to evaluate myself and come back to my core principles of why is it that I obey God in the first place? Because I love Him, and by loving Him, I then will keep His commandments. Our realization then must be that Christianity, God, is first. And everything else is secondary to my faith and my work in and for God. How is your life now versus 10 years ago? I just sit down sometimes and think what all has happened in the last 10 years. Where was I at 10 years ago? What have I done in the course of that 10 years? And how has that affected where I am at this very moment in time? Do you ever do that? Well, span that last decade in your mind very quickly. And ask yourself that question. How is your life now versus 10 years ago? Are you better off now than you were 10 years ago? Are you stronger as a Christian now than you were 10 years ago? Are you more active in your responsibilities and duties as Christians than you were 10 years ago? If not, then we have fallen off course somewhere. We have stopped growing in the knowledge and in the grace of Jesus Christ, 2 Peter 3 and verse 18. And we need again to go back to those core principles and start anew. But then ask yourself this question, how do you see your life 10 years from now? If you follow the present course that you are following now, where will you be as far as your faith is concerned? Will you continue to be strong and even stronger? Will you continue to be active and even more active in service to God? Or will you, like some with whom Paul was acquainted, have your faith to be shipwrecked at the far other extreme? How do you see your life 10 years from now? And ultimately it comes down to this question. Has, is, and will God be at the forefront of your priorities? If He has, if He is, and if He will be, then God bless you in your devotion and commitment to God. If, though, you have to honestly come to the conclusion that now and in the future your relationship with God might be lacking, then first, it's great that you can come to that realization honestly within yourself. But it's not good that you had to come to that conclusion. And you need to, with all of your heart, put forth the effort to change that and to strengthen that bond that exists between you and your God and to strengthen your resolve and your fervor to serve Him more capably now as well as in the future. And so by what name are you called? Where do you reside and what is your occupation? If any of them have anything to do other than with being a Christian first and foremost, then tonight you need to very seriously think about the destiny of your soul. And by coming to the conclusion that you are lost in sin, you need to do what is necessary to remedy that. And you can do it. That's the good news. That even though our lives may be troubled, even though we may be lost and destitute in sin, the good news is it doesn't have to stay that way. Because God has provided a way out, and that is through His Son. By entering into the body of His Son, into Christ, then we will be able to contact all of those various blessings. that we mentioned earlier, and so many more that we couldn't mention. But if you're not a child of God, then you need to come in obedience in order to contact those blessings. Having heard the Word of God and believing Jesus to be God's Son, are you willing to repent of your sin, to confess your faith before us, and based upon that confession of faith, put Christ on in baptism? If so, then the opportunity is yours tonight. Or if you're a child of God who's erred from the faith and are in need of coming back and restoring your dedication to God, then you can do so, repenting of those sins, confessing them, praying unto God for forgiveness. He promises that He will forgive you, cleanse you from all unrighteousness. We hope that you will make the decision to take Him up on that offer. You can do it now. If only you would come while together we stand and sing.